Hey guys, welcome to the Brent Gambrell Podcast. Brent is a speaker, author, and missionary.
An unconventional and reluctant missionary.
Yes, to both of those. But join Brent as he shares some of his favorite sermons throughout the years and even has some in-person conversations. So join us.
This morning, I was at a high school in Nashville, Tennessee, teaching. I'll be there all this week. Last week, one of their high school students on the soccer field fell over, had an aneurysm, and died. Senior in high school. Boom! Dead. And I was supposed to show up this morning and talk about something cheerful and bright and wonderful and awesome. But boy, I had to deal with that issue. Because this guy was a Christian, and a great Christian, wonderful Christian, and I had to deal with that issue. And so I started talking about these things again. And then I went back into my office yesterday afternoon and I looked at all my emails. And from this group, from places all over the country, I'm still getting the same questions. And that is, why do bad things happen to good people? And why does bad stuff happen to Christians? Why does it rain on Christians and non-Christians? Why don't we just walk with no clouds around us? We are God's children. We should walk and go, oh, and the sun should just shine right here as I walk. Shouldn't it? I'm God's kid. Why then? And the church doesn't teach that bad things happen. We never do. We teach, once you become a Christian, you don't even have to iron your clothes. You don't get gas, nothing. It's a beautiful time. Can I hear an amen, brother?
Amen, brother.
That's what we hear. We hear all the testimonies, especially on TV, of all the wonderful things that happened the second I accepted Christ. Flowers just bloomed as I stepped. Am I right? I mean, that's the stuff we hear. We hear things like this. I was healed. My parents got back together. Go on. My grandpa got better. My dog came back and I grew hair. It was a beautiful time. Soon as I was saved. But then something happens. Horrible. And my world is crashed. And then some wonderful, good-natured Christian, good-intentioned Christian, throws this scripture at you.
In all things, God works to the good of those who love the Lord, those who come according to His purpose.
You know, I mean, come on. That's the one we get. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Just remember, all things work to the good.
Yeah, Granny got hit by a truck, splattered all over four lanes. This is beautiful for me. God's just going to weave that into the fabric of my life. How beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. You're going, boy, you're being... That's what you think. I'm just saying it. Because we look at him and go, thank you for the encouragement. And inside you're going... And if I rip your head off and spit down your neck, God's going to work that to the good right now. Works everything to the good. But you know what? We've always thought that. Everybody has always thought that. We have always thought that things are going to be perfect. Jesus has shown up and we're just going to float and birds are going to land on our little fingers like I talk about all the time. It's going to be beautiful. A little Mary Poppins scene. It doesn't happen like that. As soon as Jesus becomes part of my world, the waves crash around me and all the sea animals sing and everything's beautiful. That's what we think. The disciples thought that. The disciples thought that. They said, Jesus! The goobers that followed Jesus. Behind him. They said, Jesus, you're here. The kingdom has come. Tell us the good news. Go ahead. And Jesus said this. The Son of God must suffer and die.
Jesus! Tell us some more good news!
Jesus said, some of you will have to die too.
Jesus! Who's got any more good news?
Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. All right.
Jesus, you ain't got to tell us no more good news, okay?
Jesus said this, but I've overcome the world. Now that's what he said to the 12 guys. And then they lived awesome lives from that point on, didn't they? Those 12 guys just rocked through life and just shot off of here like a rocket. It was so awesome, right? Let me show you the forefathers of our faith and their incredible lives. Are you ready? The forefathers of our faith. These are the guys we're supposed to emulate. Are you ready? Watch. Go ahead. Peter was crucified. Andrew was crucified. Matthew died by the sword. John died naturally. Ooh, there's one. James, son of Alphaeus, crucified. Philip, crucified. Simon, crucified. Thaddeus, killed by arrows. James, Jesus' brother, stoned. And I mean. Thomas, spear thrust. Bartholomew, crucified. James, son of Zebedee, the sword. The party in Christian life. There we are. We're going to follow that. That's what I want. The question always begs. These were good guys. I would say probably of the guys I know, they would be the goodest of the guys. Don't you think? And yet, look at that. The question begs. Go ahead. Why? Why? I've talked about my grandfather before. He had seven kinds of cancer, three heart attacks. Crushed between a car and a truck. Why? My dog got bit by a rattlesnake twice. Crushed under a car several times. He chased them. He liked to bite the tires. Okay, he was stupid. But why? He was a good dog. Why did my dog have a split ear and no teeth from dog fights? Why did he look like a little mangled little thing that would just kind of draw himself up to you? Why? He was a good dog. Why? We ask the question, don't we? I'm going to give you some answers, but I'm not going to give you all of the answers. Why? Because I am not God. Thank God. Thanks. Thank you. Wouldn't that be a horrible place if I was God? An ADD God. Whoops, forgot to spin the planet today. I'm sorry. Got a little distracted. The sun moved a few inches, you know. Sorry. I'm going to give you some answers, though, from Scripture as to why things happen. The first one is the one we always think anyway. It's the one we always think anyway. Your sin. We think that about every time, though, bad stuff happens in our lives. Now, my biblical reference is the Lord disciplines those he loves. Hebrews 12:6. But see, we add that to everything. Granny died. Why? Because I lied yesterday. God's up there and he's got a notepad. One more for Brent. One more for Bobby. Six for Brent. Granny dies. That's what we think. We think, I lost my hair because I'm cheated on my wife. I mean, we think stupid things like that. Sometimes we're disconnected. Totally disconnected. As a kid, I used to think I failed that test because I got drunk and disobeyed my parents Friday night. Anybody else think like that? No, I failed that test because I stayed drunk all weekend and didn't study. Sin, consequence, they match. They match. God created laws in the universe, said it 1,000 times. Girl comes and says, why am I pregnant? Had you left the room when this consequence, sin, consequence? Why would God do that? His name was not Jehovah. What was his name? Unless your name is Mary, I'm sorry. Consequence. Jump off roof. Fun on the way down. Consequence. Laws in the universe. I had a guy come up to me here one night, about a year ago, and say, my wife has left me. I don't understand it. And God just kind of moved me to say what I did because I knew him for about a year. I said, you know, God, your wife left you because you're a jerk. You're a jerk to her all the time. I watched you here. I am flat broke. I don't understand. Why won't God? The best cure for being broke is a job. Ten consequence. They match. They're not unrelated. You get a bad reputation. Why? Girl comes up to me at a high school event a few weekends ago. I get it all the time, the same question. I've just got such a bad reputation. And I've turned my life under Christ. Why? Why do I have a bad reputation? Because you've been a slut for a long time. People think I'm slutty. You look slutty. You dress like that. If I dressed with a nose and big floppy shoes and a big wig, you would call me a clown. You have shoestrings to tie your shirt together. Everywhere. They call me a slut. He said, don't look at me. You know, I don't want to go even visual to think about that for any amount of time, Bubba. You know what I have found, though? That when you obey in an area, the blessings, and I see it biblically and I see it in my life, the blessings that come from God go far beyond and have nothing to do with the obedience. It's the coolest thing. The sin carries with it a consequence that's equal to it. On this planet, my soul and spirit are sealed in Christ, but that sin carries a consequence. But when I obey and give an area of my life over to God, He blesses me far beyond and way outside and totally unrelated to the obedience that I give Him. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I give a tiny little area and He goes, okay. I go, that was good. Because He woos us. He goes, come on, come on. But it's not always your sin, okay? It's not always your sin. Sometimes, go ahead, somebody else sinned. My biblical reference, the entire Bible. Sometimes it's because somebody else sinned. Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. God says, don't you look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. If you even glance over your shoulder, you're showing me that you don't regret it. That you still long for it. Lot's wife went, I got to. Pillar of salt. By the way, there are pillars of salt. Still massive pillars of salt in the Middle East standing. You know what evolutionists say? It was erosion. Everything eroded around it and left the salt. Salt is one of the softest minerals on the planet. Yet all the hard granite, it eroded and left the salt. Reverse erosion. What a new thing. We'll study it. $14 billion study. She turns around. She turns into a pillar. She became a pillar, right? She suffered for her sin. Yeah. But didn't Lot lose a wife? Uh-huh. Not his fault. Didn't Lot's two daughters lose a mama? Uh-huh. Statistics show me that a good number of you in this room were sexually or emotionally or physically abused as a child. It's not your fault. Somebody else sinned. Somebody else sinned. You're going, why would God allow that if He's a loving God? Because He gave us free will, and I'll explain it again, free will, and I like the fact that He gave us free will. See, the only way I can love somebody is if I have the will not to. The only way I can ever have relationship is if I have the will not to. God could have made me a robot walking around this planet going, I love you, Lord. I serve you. I love you. You're my friend. No will of my own. Would that be love? Would that be relationship? Could I ever feel anything? Would I ever understand joy or pain or any of it? No. God gave us free will so we could have real relationship. This, and we could have real relationship. But if I can have the freedom, if I have the freedom not to love you, I have the freedom to hurt you. I have the freedom to get in a plane and fly into a building. Not your fault. I have the free will to hurt somebody. But I'm so glad He gave us free will. Aren't you? Next. Sometimes it's because of the sin of the world. Genesis 3:17 says this. And to Adam He said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. And it goes on to talk about the curse. The curse entered the world because sin entered the world. What do I mean? Sometimes bad stuff happened because sin entered the world. Guys, disease happened because sin entered the world. I have a friend. Her name is Betsy. She looks like the little chicken lady. The little chicken on Foghorn Leghorn. That goes, a man has the little... Anybody know what I'm talking about now? Okay, are we on the same page? I make her... She was just at a birthday party for me Thursday night. And she walked in, she said, a man! And I was like, I haven't seen you in a year. You still look like the chicken. It's not very, you know, not flattering to her to say that. But she has a cat. I hate cats. Okay, no. So, oh, look. Now, oh, the faces. All the cat people hate me now. I'm never coming back to Metro. He hates cats. If cats could use can openers, they wouldn't need people. You know they wouldn't. They pet themselves. Just stand there and the cat goes, and pets himself. But this particular cat was a demon from the pit of hell. I am not making this up. Absolute, if there's such a thing as demon possession, this cat had Satan himself in it. You know how cats will sometimes bat at you? When you, like they're under a bed and you walk by and they go, and you go, this cat would go, and just grab a hold and you would kick him off and he would run back and he'd kick him again. And I would go, Betsy, your cat's a demon. And she would go, he only does it to you. Every one of her friends has scars all up and down their legs. And you go, Betsy, one night God proved me right that this cat was a demon because she called me, praise God for cell phones. She called me and she said, she said, Brent, can you come over? It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, what's wrong, Betsy? I thought somebody died. She said, the cat won't let me down the stairs. Promise, I'm not making this up. The cat would not let her down the stairs. She would open the door and the cat was going, yah! I was dying laughing the whole way over to her house. I get out I just got a sheet out of the downstairs bedroom. It's the only thing I could think of. And I said, get the sheet off the bed, open the door, and we corralled the cat into, the cat's going, yah, yah, yah. Corralled this cat into an empty bedroom, and that cat, good grief, that cat, I threw a box over the cat. It was a little microwave box that she just bought. First we threw the sheet over it, and then we threw the box over it, and then I slid the other sheet underneath it, and we wrapped it all up, and she made me poke holes in it so it could breathe. But, and then we duct taped it, and I just said, just leave it, and we'll get it in the morning, you know. And then the next morning We took it to a vet. It was like a bad cartoon. It was like, I'm not making this up. And we walked in, this tree-hugging, loving, I love everything kind of guy walks out. And I was a nervous wreck. I was like, put the cat down, kill the cat. And he said, no, we need to check and see if he's okay. Might be something wrong. I said, okay, do that. All right. And it wasn't 5 minutes. He came out of the back room. He went, we put the cat down. We killed the cat. And then he asked me a question, guys, and I learned something. He asked a strange question. Some of you will know where I'm going. He said, was this by any chance a farm cat? And Betsy said, yeah, I got it on a farm. I got it from my aunts. And he taught me this. Those of you that weren't raised on a farm, when a tomcat, a daddy cat, has kittens, mates with mama, they have kittens, first thing he does is he will kill or kick off all the male cats. Then he will mate with his daughters. Then he will kill and kick off all the male cats, and he'll mate with his granddaughters. And this goes on and on and on, because he's going to be the tomcat. Now, you don't see a problem in the first three or four generations, but the fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth generation, extra limbs start coming out, you get an eyeball over here, you know. Or the cat looks perfectly normal until one day the cat just, little brain goes, that's what happened to this cat. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam and Eve were made. They had perfect DNA, is my assessment. There was no disease. It was perfect. They sinned and God turned to them and said, go be fruitful and multiply. This was not a blessing, it was a curse. What'd they do? They mated. They had children. How do you think they populated the planet? Brothers and sisters, daddy, great-granddaddy. We're going, ew, oh please, get over it. I wonder how many generations until disease crept in. Till the DNA got a glitch in it. You see, sin of the world and so did disease. So did stuff like that. You get it? Well, that clears some things up for me. Why else? Sometimes bad stuff happens for his glory. John 9, Jesus was brought a blind man, and the blind man said, or the Pharisee said to Jesus, Jesus, was he blind now because of his sin or someone else's sin? Jesus said, not this time. He went, and he was healed. This time it's for my glory. I told the story, I guess it was when I taught this the last time, but some Wycliffe Bible translators were in Papua New Guinea, and they were translating the Bible into a language, into a tribal language, and the tribe that they were translating in, the people were, the medicine men ran the tribe, and they were they were the weirdest group of people, because the medicine men, to make you better, would spit on you. You got a cold? Come here. Open your mouth.
I ain't got a cold. No.
They would spit on people to make them better. But the medicine men would not allow anyone to read the scripture. They wouldn't allow anybody to read the things they were translating. They only got, after 7 years, they only got just the book of John. And they were like, God, what are we supposed to do? And God told them, give them the book of John. Just give them that book. Let them read it. Just the medicine man. The medicine man read the book. And one day they ran across the story of a man named Jesus who was brought a blind man one day. You know, I always wondered why Jesus reached down and spit in the sand. I always wondered. It was like, he didn't do that to anybody. He touched another guy and he was healed. He said, go be healed, and he was healed. Why did he spit in that guy? See, they ran across the story of a man named Jesus who was brought a man, and one day spit, wiped in his eyes, and he was healed. And they went, that man! That's the God we can follow. I always wondered why. Why? Because he knew that one day there'd be a group of people that needed to know that their God would reach them in their way. It was for his glory. We don't understand sometimes. I've talked about my little buddy named Lane. Lane's blind and deaf. He has a little brain this big. Everything else is liquid. Lane's supposed to be completely blind, completely deaf. He doesn't have retinas. And yet you can put a flashlight in front of him and he'll follow it. You can say, hey, Lane, I just saw him last night, actually. And said, what are you doing? You know what he calls me? That's dark. Because we play dark light. I'll say, show me dark. He goes, I say, show me light. Dark light, dark light. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. He's not supposed to eat. He doesn't have the part of his brain that handles digestion, yet he eats like a horse. He's been written up in the Journal of American Medicine several times, and they've led several nurses to Christ, several doctors to Christ. Why? Because of Lane. It's for God's glory. It's to show his presence on the planet. Does that explain it fully to me why Lane's like that? Uh-uh. Does it make it all okay for me? Uh-uh. Makes me mad still sometimes because I don't get it. My manager's son was born with spina bifida and his legs don't work. Do I understand that? No, when I hold him, he gives me incredible joy. But I don't understand why he's like that. My granddad having 7 kinds of cancer, I don't understand that. I lay in bed at night and listen to him breathe. He taught me how to live by dying. God's gotten glory out of it. That's really cool. Does it really help everything all the time, though? No. But I don't get the big picture. Sometimes it's for his glory. Sometimes, though, it leads me to my next statement. Sometimes stuff happens, and I don't know why. If I didn't say that, I'd be a fool. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. I don't get it. I'm not God. A little fourth grader. You know, we think we're so intelligent. We think we are so intelligent. And we ask deep questions, right? No, we don't. We ask simple questions and we flower them up with our language when we get older. I was teaching a group of fourth graders this weekend in Virginia. They said, can you talk to the fourth through sixth graders? And I went, I don't do children's ministry. And they said, come on, it'll just take a minute. If you get stuck, I'll help you out. And I walked up and I just talked about Jesus being big, so much bigger than you think. And if you're afraid, no, he's bigger. And I started talking about that. And a girl walked up to me and she said, if he's big and in him and through him all things were made that were made, and he holds everything together, she said to me, then what's prayer for? Fourth grade. Now, we would have fashioned that in a different way. Does prayer bend the heart of God? We would have put in some big flowery terms, wouldn't we? Same question. What's prayer for if God's so big? You know how I had to explain it to her? I said, you know what? The Bible says we can change God's mind. But he knew he was going to change it. Does that freak you out? You know why? Because he's so big! And then I explained it like this. You know, God has a 40 bajillion trillion gajillion IQ. Then I had to explain what IQ was. And your IQ is 30, 50, 90 tops. And you want God to explain things to you. That would be like me explaining to an ant a combustion engine. First, I'd have to start with, okay, let's pull back the grass. There's stuff above the grass. Now, the combustion engine. My ways are higher than yours. And we want him to explain everything? There's stuff above the clouds. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, quickly. It is always to grow us. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Follow me. He who began the good work, he will complete it. Doesn't that sound like you're not doing anything? What part are you in that equation? He who began, he will complete. But I hate that term grow. Just hate it. He's going to grow you. Grow? What do you mean grow? Grow what? Grow what? How do I grow? I'm trying to shrink, not grow. What does that mean, grow? I had to study it, and I found the scripture. We've been grown in the likeness of Christ. You remember that scripture in Romans that we just talked about? All things work to the good of those who love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose. Next scripture says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son. We're being conformed into the likeness of his Son. Are we going to look like him when we're done? Uh-uh. We're not going to look like him when we're done. What does it mean, his likeness? It means his character. Well, what's his character? I had to study that. An old theologian gave me an incredible, incredible look at his character. One of the best scriptures that describes his character, because the Spirit of God is all God, is this. Galatians 5:22 is the scripture. Galatians 5:22 is a very compact list. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me say it again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you want to look at God in His entirety, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control would be what we would look at. Tell me this. If you had a graph, if we were to look at Jesus on a graph, where would He be on a scale of 1 to 10 on all those areas? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He'd be off the charts, wouldn't he? Sure he would. Well, when we hear bad things happening to people, the first person that's always brought up when you want to talk to somebody is who? Job. The whole book of Job. Job. Bad guy. Was he a bad guy? No, he's a great guy. Job, quick story of Job. Job was an awesome man. Job had lots of money, lots of cattle, lots of wonderful things in his life. Lots, big family, all kinds of stuff. And then one day, God looked at Job, and a bunch of angels and Lucifer, Satan, came up to God and said, "Hi there, God." And God did this. He said, "Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's so faithful. Have you considered my servant Job?" Wait, doesn't that sound cruel? Satan wasn't even looking at Job. Sounds like a cruel God, doesn't it? "Have you considered my servant Job?" God wasn't being cruel. Why? Because God did to Job what He does to us on a daily basis. God looked at Job and He went, let me see, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I believe he graphed him. He said, love, joy, peace, joy he's doing okay in. His pastor's going to do a series on peace, so he's going to grow in that. See, you can grow the easy way or you can grow the hard way. You can grow by getting in the Word, by fellowship and all that, or you can grow the hard way. Sometimes we refuse to grow in an area, though. So I think God looked at Job and went, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I think Job needs to grow in faithfulness. Now, I began a good work in him to conform him to the likeness of my son, and I need to finish that work. So I'm going to do this. Hey, Satan, what are you doing? He asked Satan what he was doing to start with, and I went, did God know? Uh-huh. Why'd he ask? He wanted to throw Satan off. Satan went, I'm roaming the earth seeking whom I may devour. La, la, la. God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's so faithful. And you know what Satan did? Like a red flag in front of him. Satan said, oh yes, Lord, but you've blessed him and you've given him money and you've given him all kinds of power and you've given him crops and you've given him land and you've given him, and I bet if I take all those things, he will curse you and die. And God said, okay, Job, Satan, here's Job's life. Within this box is his life and his wife. You can't touch either one of those. God set up a perimeter for Satan. You can't touch either one of those. I think God left his wife because she was this thorn in the flesh. Not all women, just hit, if you ever read what she said to him all the time, why don't you curse God and die? Just curse God and die. You need to read the story. She was his thorn. He said, you can't touch those two things. Please understand that God controlled Satan. The created was being controlled by the creator. Zane said, all right, I'll do that. Took off to the planet, showed up on the planet. Have you ever read it? It's hilarious. It says that a servant walked into the tent and went, Job, all your crops, beautiful, ugly, nasty. You don't want to go over there. As he was passed by another servant on the way out the door who came in and said, Job, ugly thing, all your animals, they're, yeah. Your kids, your... Job ended up sitting in a pile of dirt, just throwing dirt in his face, going, duh, duh, duh. And then all his friends kicked in. You ever notice your friends are great in a time of trial? Oh, yeah. You've done something wrong. What'd you do? You probably did something wrong. You know, he whined for the half of the book. We always talk about the patience of Job. He whined for most of the book. Why, God, why? He whined till chapter 38. God, why was I even born? What are you doing in chapter 38? I love this. Chapter 38. Job. Oh, I got to get there. In chapter 38, Job had whined and whined and whined. And finally he said something that apparently ticked God off. He said, why was he even born? In chapter 38, God spoke out loud. Can you imagine? In him and through him all things were made that were made. He holds everything together and he spoke out loud. What would that do to the molecules of your body? You want to talk to me? God said, listen to this. And the Lord answered Job out of a cloud, out of a storm, and said, who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. God said, did you rub my lamp? Hold on. And then God goes on to say, who made the mountains? Who formed the seas? Who did all those things? Surely you know. Who laid the corners of the earth? Who did all those wonderful things? Who made the big animals? Who made the little animals? Surely you know. He said, I'm God, Job. You're not. Let's figure that out. And then he said, but Job, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Trust me, I promise it's all cool. You know what Job did? He got it finally. He said, God, I get it. I get it. You know what? I may not get everything. But you know what? If you take everything, God, even my life and my wife, I will always be faithful to you. I will always be faithful to you. Job is called the second most faithful man in the Bible at the end of that story. You know what I think my God did the next day? I think my God, go ahead and show Job again, please. I bet the next day my God looked at Job and went, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I think I need to grow Job in goodness. Hey, Satan, what are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is a chump. You go, don't you talk about Satan like that. Perfect pride is blind and deaf. He never heard a word I just said. Satan's a chump, and he's used by God to grow us. The created is always controlled by the Creator. And you think those problems are there to destroy you, and they're not. They're there to grow us closer to God. So graph yourself. Graph yourself. Take it home with you. Galatians 5:22. Because you know what the truth is? Romans 8:28. In all things, God works to the good of those that love the Lord. Those that are called according to His purpose. It's true. It really is true. Take the problems. Look at them. The next time, I'm telling you, if you'll graph yourself, I keep that graph. I keep it in my head. I go, here's where I am. And try it, guys. The next problem that comes up, look at it and go, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you're trying to grow me, Lord. I'm stubborn in that area, huh? I'm going to begin to study there, Lord, because I want you to grow me. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you work everything together. Continue to grow us, Father, and we'll continue to be in your hand moldable. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Brink and Brawl podcast. Please subscribe so you can stay up to date on when the newest episodes are released. Also, if you want to find out how to get more involved with Brink and Brawl Ministries, please check out DoorToHope.com.